dismiss the children at this time. Is that correct? I thought we did that earlier. No, we didn't. Ages 4 to 6. We just told them what we were going to do, didn't we? That's good. If you are between the ages, not you, Jim, between 4 and 6, go and meet with Pastor Josh in the back. He's going to take you out of here. All right, we're going to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. As a matter of fact, before you even turn, I guarantee you, every one of you can tell me what it is. It's Genesis 1 and 1. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's one of those passages of Scriptures that we've read and read and read and heard and heard and heard. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The title of my message this morning is God is Bigger. God is bigger. God is bigger. Before I get into this morning's message, I want to kind of briefly mention to you the sermon that I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to preach Genesis 1 and 1 and try to answer all of your questions about when did God create the heavens and the earth, or whether or not he did, in fact, create the heavens and the earth. And I'm not going to try to prove if the 7 days were really 7 days, or was it dispensational. And I'm not going to make us look at fossil records or carbon dating. And that's not a bad road to go down. It's a good road. You can learn a lot from that road and going down that road. But that's not the road we're going to go down this morning. And the reason that I'm not going to preach down that road this morning is because of the main issue of Genesis 1 and 1. The issue in Genesis 1 and 1 that I want you to see this morning is not when God actually created the heavens and the earth, but that he in fact did create the heavens and the earth. Not when. It really isn't important. The only thing that you need to know about when he did it is the next part of the phrase, in the beginning. In the beginning. That's all you need to know, that he did it in the beginning. That's the only thing that's important about when he did it. But he did in fact create it, is what I want you to see. And he created it in the beginning. And when we look at in the beginning, what does in the beginning mean? In the beginning means that before there was anything else. He did it before there was anything else. It means simply that, before there was anything else. And everything that exists today exists because he said so. He spoke it into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created, you know, I think that this truth, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that this truth is the most important thing that you can learn in this word or in your life. Listen to me. You heard me right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth is more important than anything else in this book. Anything in your life, you've got to get that, because none of the other truths really mean anything if you don't know and believe that one truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you know that the crucifixion, Calvary, has no meaning without in the beginning God created? Are you there? Nothing, no truth is as great in the world today as this one little fact. In the beginning, God created. It's the very foundation. It's the basis of everything we believe, everything we've ever taught. I spent 45 years preaching this, and I'd hate to wake up one morning and find out I was wrong. This is the most important thing we can learn, and that is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created it. So why is it so important to us? You and I need to recognize the fact that if we don't have a foundation to start basing our truths on, then our truths are really not any good. That they're very weak. They're not even good. God created the heavens and the earth. And the heavens and the earth that you see, God created them.
Yes.
Listen, I want you to kind of grasp this with me this morning. When I talk about the heavens and the earth, every time you look around, every time you look up, every time you look down, you see things that God created. Everything, everything God created.
Yes.
You can look around you and you see people. God created that.
Amen.
Yes. Reach over and touch the person next to you. They're real.
Yes.
They're really real. It's not a figment of your imagination. God created it. God formed it and made it.
Yes.
He created that. It's a real thing. And so we begin to look around us and we see that everything we see things that God created them. You see things that God made. And those things, whether they be human or regardless of what they are, even without speaking a word, are talking to you. They're speaking to you. And you know what they're saying? God exists. Susan and I was riding down the road this morning, and I said, look at those trees over there. How many, have you ever thought that they exist for a reason, for a purpose? They got a purpose. Every tree out there has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. And God created it. And they're saying something to us. You it doesn't have to speak a word, but they're saying, you know what they're saying? They're saying God's real. God exists. I know he exists because I exist.
Yes.
And without him, I wouldn't be here. This is what everything you see is saying to you. It's saying, God really exists. We spend so much time trying to prove that God really does exist that we need to let God do that. We're wasting time. We need to let God prove. I read through the book over and over and over. Can I tell you something? I never read where God tried to convince anyone he was real.
Amen.
We'll start right at Genesis and go through the books. And you'll say, God's not trying to convince anyone he's real. You know what? That's something that you've got to accept within yourself. It's a first truth of life. The first truth that you've got to really believe in the Word of God is, in the beginning, God created. He's God. He's God Almighty. All he has to do is speak. And when he speaks, it happens. God cannot lie. You know, the Bible tells us he's a God that cannot lie. Because if God says it, it is. It is. It is. It is. It changes. It does whatever he says it is. So God doesn't try to prove who he is. God wants to just show you his love. If we could ever get to the fact that God is so full of grace and so full of love that all he wants to do is just spread his love throughout the world. God is speaking to us daily, every day in our lives, every moment of our lives. If you would just focus on him for a moment, you'd turn around and you would look, and everything you see would remind you of God. Because he created all things. God exists. These things are saying, God exists. He's real. They're saying, I was made. And if I was made, then there had to be a maker.
Amen.
You were made. You were formed. But man was formed. So we know that if we were made, there had to be a maker. Without a maker, there's nothing made. I mean, if you know, the maker is always greater than the made. They're saying, God's real, God's real. We're made and he's the maker. And the maker is God. And how many of you know that it's not you and it's not me and it's not anyone like us. The maker is God. And
yes.
God is bigger
yes.
than you are.
Yes.
God is bigger than you are. God's bigger than I am.
Yes.
If he's real, If he's there, then you and I must exist because he made us. You're here today because God made you. You are not an accident. God made you the way that you are. And you know, I hear people all the time talking about, you know, hey, we deal with stuff. We're just human. That's a big problem that we have. We don't have to deal with stuff. Let God deal with your stuff. If you've got stuff in your life, give it to God. Let God deal with that. So many times I go to prayer and I'm one thing about it, look, you can't con God. I'm telling you, you can't lie to him. He knows the truth before you even speak. And I just go to him and say, Lord, I just can't handle this. I'm just going to give it to you before I even think about it. No sense in messing up my head. I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you because you can handle it. I know that you're going to take care of it. I know that you created me. I was made by you. I was made for a purpose. And if I got a problem, then you have a problem. And listen, when we talk about having a problem, God having a problem, how many of you know that when we begin to talk about God and how that he is over everything and he created everything and he's in charge of everything and how that when we have a problem, he'll take it into his hands and he will make it his problem and he'll take care of it. How many of you really stop and thought about the fact that you don't have a ministry? I don't care. I've been in this thing 45 years and I still don't have a ministry. It's God's ministry. I don't want the pressure of being under. If this was my, I wouldn't want this church. I'm just being honest. I mean, I don't want that pressure. Listen, we have a pact when we begin to pray about the church, and Susan's sitting right here and she'll tell you, we begin to pray. And when things are going on and we're praying about the church, we always remind them, this is God's church. Let him handle this. We're not going to mess with this.
That's right.
We're just going to do what God called us to do.
Amen.
If you do what God's called you to do and let him take care of his ministry and his church and his people. And his people.
Yes.
And his preachers.
Yeah.
Listen, if you don't like us, pray for us.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can speak to us thick-headed preachers.
Amen.
So talk to someone that can do something about it.
Yeah.
Talk to God. Don't talk to my wife. Don't talk to my friends. Talk to my God.
Amen.
Let him speak to me. God's in charge. God's in control. And everything that we see, he created and he made it his. And he said, I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
I'm going to let you use it. He's real. He's there. And listen, we exist because he said it. Not because someone else said it. Or not because this happened or that happened. No, God. How many of you know that God wrote, the Bible says God wrote the beginning. The end when he wrote the beginning. This whole thing is already written. This whole thing is already written down. God is already, so we exist. God said it. We exist. Your life was written down before you were ever even thought of. He knew you when you were yet in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were. He knew you when you did not exist. He knew that you would exist. And God made you and he formed you. I'm telling you. And if God made you, then he has made you for a purpose. I want you to look at someone and say, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. Every one of you, I have a purpose. We have a purpose. And listen, God created you for a purpose. You exist for a reason. You exist for a purpose. God's doing something in the world today. I know we look around, it looks pretty grim. I understand that. I can visualize. I can see it. I got to where I don't even watch the news anymore. I pretty well know what it's going to be. But I don't watch the news because it's so grim. And I begin to think about this thing. Listen, God is doing something in the world today. And he wants you and I to be a part of it. He wants us to be a part of what's happening in his life. We're always concerned about what is happening in our life. That if we would begin to be a part of God's life, everything's going to run a lot smoother. So we're a part of what God is doing. God wants us to be a part of it. He wants us to take issues and take part in what he's doing. Listen, we exist for something, for a purpose, for something bigger than us. Listen, God created us. So if God created us, we must know that God that created the heavens and the earth, he is too big to create anything without a purpose. Yes. In other words, if God created you, he's too big to create you without a purpose. Yes. He wants you to have a purpose in life. You got to figure out what your purpose is. I've ministered to young pastors, and I always tell them, listen, what you've got to figure out is what is your call. What has God called you to do? Yes. If God's called you to be an evangelist, you have no business pastoring. If God's called you to be a pastor, then you have no business evangelizing. You need to get to where God has planted you. Amen. And begin to flourish there. Amen. And to begin to grow there. Amen. Listen, you got to find out what your purpose in life is. And it's not just in the pulpit, it's all over the congregation. Amen. You got to find out what your purpose in life is. You got to find out what your call is. If you ever get your call down, you'll know what your purpose is. And God is going to be doing something. God's never going to stop doing things. God is going to always be doing things, and he's going to always want you to be a part of it. God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And if we can ever get to that place that we recognize that we're created for a purpose, we exist for a reason, and it's what God has planned in our lives. Okay. See, he's too big to create anything without a purpose. See, when we begin to look at everything that you see and we begin to know that God created, we recognize this one fact. It's connected to something bigger than it is. Yes. Let me give you a real silly little example. How many of you know that a tree is connected to the ground? Yes. It's its root system. It's connected. How many of you know the ground's bigger than the tree? Are you there? I remember reading a story here years ago about this fellow was getting ready to go on a business trip. And he was packing his suitcase, and a fly got in his suitcase. And so he goes to the airport, gets in the plane, puts his suitcase above the overhead. And they're flying there over the ocean somewhere. I don't care. And they're over this ocean, and so he remembers he needs to get something. He gets his suitcase out, and when he opens it up, guess what comes out? The fly. Now, the fly got in the suitcase in New York. And when he got off the plane, he was in Paris. You know why? He was connected to something bigger than him. Come on. The fly was in the plane. The plane wasn't in the fly. And so when he recognized, see, what you got to realize, when you get connected to something bigger than you are, it'll take you to places unknown. I'm talking spiritual here now. Come on, work with me just a little bit. Make out like you know something, whether you do or not. And recognize that when we connect with something bigger than us, it's going to take us to spiritual places we never dreamed that we could go. Let me assure you, I promise you that on one blistering morning when this young boy got up and was going to spend his day wandering around in the desert, and his mother packs his lunch. Little did he realize that on that day, his lunch would feed 5,000 people. And when they got through feeding the 5,000, they took up the fragments. How many of you know how much was left? 12 baskets. Where did the baskets go? I've read. I can't find out where the wind. It's not in the book. But I'd imagine, little did that young man realize, but he was sowing a seed. Two fishes and five loaves turned into 12 baskets. And I don't know, we don't know, but I can assure you that that boy's family ate well for a few days. Amen. So we recognize here that we got to get connected with something bigger than we are. As long as we're connected with something the same size we are, we're not going anywhere. We got to connect with something bigger. We got to let God know that we want to be a part of what He's doing. And we got to be a part of Him. Now, the problem came in when there became a distance between God and man, between the maker and the made, between the creator and the created. There became a distance between them. Listen, how many of you know that something is not right when there's a distance in relationship?
Yes.
I don't care what kind of relationship it is. When you begin to distance yourself, when you begin to hold things in, listen, the worst thing you can do in any relationship, whether it's in marriage or whether it's in, it doesn't matter, friendship, it really doesn't matter, is to withdraw and hold things, especially in your relationship with God. When you begin the whole thing, somebody says, yeah, but God already knows it. Yeah, but He wants to make sure you know it.
Right. Yes.
You need to know it. He knows it, sure, but he needs to hear you voice it. He needs to hear you speak it. He needs to let you know, I know where I am.
Right.
Because if you don't know where you are, you'll wind up there again.
Yes.
He wants you to know where you are. So the worst thing in the world you could do with a relationship is to put a distance between it. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. They put a distance between them and God. There was a distance between them. Now watch this. How many of you know what happened at the Tower of Babel? They were going to build a tower. Where were they going to build that tower to? To the heavens. They were going up to. You know what they were doing? Trying to reconnect. They were trying to reconnect. We are where they were. We are where they were. You know, we're spending our lives trying to reconnect. How many of you know God stopped that process?
Amen.
He said, oh, no, 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 no.
Amen.
You're not going to do that. You know why? Because you can't come to me. I have to come to you. You can't come to me. I've got to come to you. And He came in the form of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you didn't choose me, for I chose you. Come on, you guys. I mean, this is simple stuff. And so he put us in the place that He said, look, you cannot come to me. I've got to go to you. So I'm stopping this process right here. And we're spending our whole life trying to reconnect with God when all you got to do is take away the distance.
Yes.
And the distance is between about 6 inches for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Between these ears. It's in your head. Your mind's the heart of the soul.
Yes.
What a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What a man thinks. You don't think here, you think here. So your heart of the soul is in your head. And so we got to realize that we've got to remove the distance. And once we remove the distance, then God can come to us. But we've got to remove the distance. We must do our part. See, we look around us and there's enough all around us in heaven and earth to let us know that we are created for a purpose. We're created for a purpose. We don't have to look for reasons to believe that. God has already shown us enough that we know that we're created for a purpose. Now, watch this. When man started putting a distance between himself and God, between the made and the maker, then everything went cattywampus.
Amen.
Y'all know what cattywampus is?
Yep.
Cattywampus is very simple. That's just a, when you're from South Alabama, you know cattywampus. I mean, you could ask my daddy. He'll tell you. See, every time you do that, everything goes cattywampus. You can't do that. It'll mess you up. That's what's going to get you in trouble, my daddy would say. It goes cattywampus. See, when it goes cattywampus, that means that it starts, gets out of order. And when it starts getting out of order, then it begins to shake. And when it shakes enough, it's going to break. You can shake something till it breaks. You know. And I can remember when I was little, we'd make stuff. We'd make wagons and we'd make, we'd take old wheels and make wagons and we get going down a dirt road hill. And you have a little guide on it. And you're trying to guide that thing. And all of a sudden, it's going cattywampus. Going cattywampus. It's about to break. Something's going to happen. So see, that's what happened when we let distance get between us and God. Things begin to go cattywampus and they begin to break. And that's what sin does in your life. It breaks stuff. It breaks relationships. It breaks things. It breaks relationships horizontally and vertically. Once you begin it begins to shake and it begins to break and things go cattywampus with you, then you begin to destroy relationships. And that's what sin does in your life. It destroys first your relationship with God, and then it destroys relationships with your friends and with your wife and with your husband and with everything. It's when you separate yourself.
Yes, right.
When you separate yourself. The safest place a man can ever find himself, I hope you really, if you're married and you're in this building, you'll hear my heart. The safest place I can find myself on this earth is with my wife.
Amen.
I will never betray her as long as I'm with her. Come.
Yes.
As long as I'm with her. I don't have to. That's the safest place I can find myself.
Amen.
And as long as I am with God.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, thank you. Both of you.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. And what I want you to see is as long as you're with him, there's not a distance. The distance is eliminated and God is there and God's going to take care of you and you don't have to worry about things going cattywampus and begin to shake and break apart. Listen, these people and at the Tower of Babel and where we are today were trying to find their way back to God. Now, you ready for this? Punch somebody and say, get ready for this. Watch this, watch this, watch this. That's what we call religion. Hello? That's what we call religion today. Just like those people at the Tower of Babel. They were trying to reconnect. And when we try to reconnect, we do religious stuff. Thank you. Golly, listen, what's this? What's this? When we begin to reconnect with God, what do? We start praying. We start going to church. We start listening to praise tapes. We listen to those. Come on. That's because we're trying to reconnect.
Yes.
We're trying to reconnect, and that's nothing but religion. Why don't you listen to those praise tapes when you're not trying to reconnect? Why don't you listen to those sermons when you're not trying to reconnect? Why don't you pray when you don't have a problem? Are you guys there with me this morning? It's about trying to find our way back to God. We're it becomes about works. We try to work our way back to God. We do everything right for a couple of days, and then reality sets in, and we realize it. This is not going to work. Listen, we recognize that we try to climb that ladder. We try to get back to Jesus. We're being religious, and God is not looking for religious people. There's been religious people for hundreds and thousands of years.
Yes.
So the God that created the heavens and the earth, I like that. The God that created the heavens and the earth came to us by becoming like those he created. Now, that's got to make you think. I mean, if you're asleep, that'll make you think. What's this? God became us. It wasn't until he made himself like us and came to us, the people he created, then he gave us redemption. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is God incarnate man. Jesus is God become man. And he gave his life. What's it? He gave his life to save what he created.
Amen.
The creator gave his life to save what he created. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what the Bible's all about. That's what gives us hope. We're singing about that hope. That's what gives us hope. That's the good news. And you cannot hear it anywhere else. It's the hope of the world. Listen, church. You will not know it for what it is unless you know Genesis 1 and 1. God is bigger than you. God is bigger than you. I read Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know I can't even stand in the same room with him. He's too big. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than all of us put together. God is bigger than you are. There's three little points that I'm going to run over very quickly that I want you to just grasp this morning. And those three points are: one, God's bigger than you. God's bigger than your problems. And God's bigger than your dreams. I think this is the real theme of Genesis 1 and 1. Now, within the Old Testament, there is the first five books, what we call the Pentateuch, or maybe some of you would, like myself, would call it the Torah, or the books of Moses. And the purpose of these five books is to give us a history of the relationship between Israel and God. Now, those books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and what? Deuteronomy. I know Genesis is the first book, and it sets the stage for the other four. It's the foundational book of the Bible. It's the beginning. It's the genetics of it. It's the beginning. It's the foundational book of the Bible. And it tells us where Israel came from. Now watch this. In the book of Genesis, which is the foundational book, in chapter 12, we know how Israel began. It was about Israel. The Bible says that God went to a man called Abram from Ur. He went to a man called Abram, and he made him an amazing promise. Here's an old man, at that time 75 years old, and God made him a promise. He said, many nations are in you. You're going to be the father of many nations. Now, let me tell you something. You talking about messing up your head?
Amen.
I'm only 72. Yeah, what a dream. Yeah. What a dream. What a dream that'd be. God come to me and tell me you're going to be the father of many nations. Come on. You got I understand this a lot better than most of you do, because I'm pretty close to Abram's age when God told him that. And God goes to him and tells you, you're going to be the father of many nations. That's in chapter 12. Now, chapters 1 through 11 shows us the relationship between God and Israel. 1 through 11 kind of begins to form the relationship between God and the Hebrews, God and Israel. Now, chapter 1 is where I wanted to go to. Chapter 1, verse 1. But chapter 1 is to let Israel know who their God is. That's all it's about. Chapter 1 is about God showing Israel who their God really is. And watch this. All the people that lived around Israel at that time had their own God. Everybody had their own God. Everybody back then was religious. God's not looking for religion. I said that earlier. All of those people back then were religious. They worshiped something. And every group of people, every nation, they had their own deity. And it was a common thing when different people would come together in a conflict, that regardless of what the conflict started out to be, it always wound up to be about whose God is the biggest. Go back and read it. David and Goliath. What was Goliath doing? Making fun of Israel's God. David comes and says, who's going to allow that? Who's going to allow that uncircumcised Philistine to talk about our God that way? Are we going to sit back? See, it became about, look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. Y'all go ahead and pray. And he just mocked them and carried on for 4 or 5 hours there. Y'all go ahead and pray and see what your God can do. And then let me pray. And remember what he did? He poured all the water on. It was running down off the mountain. There was so much water going, this, that, and the other. And he called fire down. The fire come down out of heaven. It was about whose God was the biggest. See, no matter, it started out territorially over property, but it always wound up at whose God's bigger. And see, here would come these people that say, oh, but we have the so-and-so, the God of the river. And Israel could say, our God made the river. Yeah, but we got the so-and-so, he's the God of the sun. Our God told the sun to shine. Are y'all there with me? He's for me. He's letting them know who your God really is. I don't care what these other religions, what these other peoples are saying. I want you to know who I am, because in me is going to be your hope. In me, this is, it doesn't matter what kind of gods they have or how many gods they have. You need me. You need one God. You need me. You need the Creator. You need the one who created the heavens and the earth. That's who you need. That's all you need. And each of these nations would come together, and they would, it always wound up to be about the gods. So God's not looking for religion. These people were very religious people. God's not looking for religion. God's looking for someone that will say, my God is bigger than me. It's bigger than anyone around me. It's bigger than all my enemies. My God is bigger than I am. I don't need somebody the same size as me. I don't need someone that can only do what I can do. I need a God bigger than me. God's bigger than you. Look at somebody and say, God's bigger than you. God's bigger than you are. God's so big. God's so wonderful. He's so great. And it just makes me want to just almost just fall on my face right here in front of all you people and worship the God of Israel, because he's such a wonderful God. And I'm just telling you, every time I begin to think I'm in trouble and I can't, I know my God is able to do it. When we face those kind of things, God's bigger than you are. Now watch this. God's bigger than your problem. How many of you, like myself, have faced circumstances or situation that you knew, if I don't get some help, this is it. It is over. I'm done. I got to have help. This thing is bigger than me. You knew that you needed help, and you knew that what you were facing was bigger than you were. And you just didn't know where the help was coming from. Listen, I've been in pastoral ministry. I've been in ministry long enough not trying to con or fool anybody. I'm just as real as the next person. I have the same problems you have. I've just been seasoned enough that I know how to deal with them. What's this, church? I've faced those things, and I didn't know where my help was coming from. And I go back to the Word. This right here is the most important thing that I've got in my life. Because God told me something. He told you, He told you, and He told you, and He told you. He said, you remind me of what I said.
Yes.
And see if I won't do it.
Yeah. Amen.
I said, you remind me of what I said.
Yes.
And see if I don't do it. If I can find it in here, He's obligated.
Yes.
If I can find it, He's obligated.
Yes.
It becomes His responsibility. It's not mine. I may not know how to solve my problem or how to get the help I need, but if I can find it in here,
yes,
it's no longer my problem.
Right.
He said, tell me, show me, and see if I won't do it. Watch me. Watch me. God is bigger, and God's bigger than your problems. And when you get back to this book, you're going to find that God has created a way out of anything that you've been able to get yourself in. I love the psalmist David when he wrote, and this is one of the psalms he wrote, the 121st Psalm. And it starts out like this in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Now, he looked up at the hills because that's where people worshiped. Everybody looked at it. Remember, we just talked about Elijah. He was on Mount Carmel. God told Moses to come up on Mount Sinai, up on the hill. That's where religious people went. And so he began to look up to the hill because that's where people worshiped. That's where the altars were built. Now in verse 2, he makes a declaration and he answers his own question when he says, I lift up my eyes to the hill from whence comes my help. And he says, my help comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
When you go there and read it, and you're going to say, 121, 2, Psalm 121, 2. He said, my help comes from the who made heaven and earth. He went right back to Genesis 1 and 1. He had to understand Genesis 1 and 1. My help comes from God. He made heaven and earth. God's bigger than your problem. So he reflected back on Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. My help doesn't come from the hills. It comes from the one who made the hills. My God owns the cattle of a... and all the hills next to the hills. I kind of added that, but that's okay. He's saying, because God made the heavens and the earth, and He made everything that is in them, I know that He's bigger than me. I know that He's bigger than you. I know that He's bigger than these hills. And I know that He's bigger than my problem. And I trust Him. And I trust it. No matter what you're going through or the burden that you're carrying, God is bigger than it is. God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And everything that exists because He created it. The last thing, God is bigger than your dreams. I've learned that when I try to accomplish my dreams, I limit God in what He wants in my life. Because I'm doing the dreaming. Whether it's in things, finance, peace, healing, health, love, peace, joy, regardless of what it is, I can't depend on my dreams. God's bigger than my dreams. I depend on God who created the heavens and the earth. Watch this. Ephesians 4:20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think according to His power that works in us. See, I gotta go when I dream as far as I can dream, and no matter how wild I think my dreams are, I gotta recognize that if I reflect back on Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and I let it remind me that He's bigger than all that He made, then I recognize the fact he is bigger than me. He's bigger than my problems. And I know that he's bigger than my dreams. I know that he's bigger. Listen, we all dream. We have goals. We have dreams. This is what I'd like to accomplish. This is what I'd like to have. You know. And have you ever noticed that when you start dreaming, you dream so limited. See, like, you see these. I can remember when I was coming up, everybody wanted a Corvette back in the 50s and 60s. Man, that was the, I'm telling you. You didn't have to be good looking. You just needed a Corvette. You didn't even have to be tall. You could be short like me. All you needed was a Corvette. And I can remember seeing those advertisements in those magazines. Go to the movie, you see the advertisement. You know what? I never remember an advertisement that they made, and they showed you this pretty red Corvette convertible. And then they say, after purchase, you must purchase insurance. You must pay payments. You got to buy gas. You got to put tires on it. So I never dreamed about all that stuff. I just... Are you there with me? See, that's the way we dream. Because we only know in part. God knows everything. Oh, come on, I'm preaching now. God knows everything. So when he lays a dream in your life, he's already considered the insurance. He's already considered the gasoline. He's considered all these things. He's bigger than your... Stop dreaming what you would like. And begin to not be religious in everything that you do, but to be real with God. Number one, God, I'm the made. You're the maker. I'm the created. You're the creator. You're bigger than me. You're greater than me. You have more power than I do. You're so wonderful in everything that you do, and I lack in everything that I do. So I cannot put my trust in anything that concerns me. I put my trust in the maker of heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a truth you need to know. And once you know that truth, then everything else is going to come together. Amen. Everything else is going to come together. Amen. Stand up with me all over. Men, please do not forget. We're going to meet right down here sometime right after we get through. I'm going to dismiss you in just a minute. If you would like to go, like I said, all of us are going. Corey and all of us are going. We really want you to come and be a part. And we can connect together. We're going to be staying in the same hotel. And just spending time together and just doing stuff. Just going to have a great time. Just come down here. Listen, I pray God spoke to your heart during this message, because I really struggled with this message this week. My wife would tell you, I've had about 10 different sermons. And I completed 4 of them. May never get to preach them. But this is the one God landed me on day before yesterday. And so I began to develop it. And I struggled. But I preached what God laid on my heart for you. Not for me, but for you. And he wants you to know he created who your God is. Your God's a God that created the heavens and the earth. And all that is within. Everything you see that exists because he says this exists. He's a speaking God, and he speaks to things. He can speak to your problem. He can speak to your situation. He can speak to your dreams. And once God speaks to them, everything that at one time was cattywampus will become straight and in alignment and will run like it's supposed to. So in my question to you this morning, have you been running down the road cattywampus? Do you want to get it aligned? Do you want to get it back where it needs to be, where to quit shaking and vibrating and falling and kicking things apart? Your help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just 1 minute, if you just lift up your hand. If you would like prayer, I'm going to pray openly, corporately for everybody at one time. If you know that things have been going cattywampus and you want to straighten it, lift up that hand and put it right back down. God knows who you are. God knows your problems. He knows your circumstance. He knows your situation, and He knows that He's bigger than it is. Father, you saw those hands go up, and you know the heart. You know that they're being open and honest with you, and they're saying, I can't handle this, and I need for you, God, to take care of this for me. I need for you to do it. I cannot do it. Father, I know that you are the biggest thing that ever was. I know that you're bigger than I am. You're bigger than all my friends, and you're bigger than all of us put together. And Father, I know you're bigger than my problems, and I know you're bigger than my circumstances and situations, and I know you're bigger than my dreams. And I just want you to minister to me this morning. Minister to every person that raised their hand. Father, touch their spirit. Let them know that you are the God of the whole earth, the God of Israel, and the God of Tallahassee. Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer individually, come. We have people up here that would like to pray with you, for you. I want you to come. If not, I want to dismiss you. Be with your family. Have a wonderful afternoon. And you men, if you would just come and gather up on the front down here, and we'll, for in just a minute, we'll have a real short, shortest meeting.